PPI Radio Awards 2012, Category B3, News Programme, the National Lunchtime News, Today FM.
This is the National Lunchtime News all across Ireland, 100 to 102, Today FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Sinead Spain with today's top stories. Department of Finance chief warns that staffing levels in his department are not up to scratch.
We've got a very significant transformation to do in the department. And until we get to status quo, we're going to need extra help to do that.
Is this the Dáil, or are these TDs auditioning for a part in California?
Orgies. The cause for arousal.
Fetish, orgies and arousals.
I'm getting excited here myself, waiting for the question.
And the most interesting home to come on the market for some time.
Could be just a family, somebody who wants to live in an exceptional house. It's very, very hard to find something like this, so it is quite unique.
This is the National Lunchtime News.
The head of the Department of Finance says he needs 40 extra staff to achieve the key objective of putting the Irish economy on the road to recovery. John Moran has warned that a fall in investment in his department has made it impossible to achieve the tasks set by the government. He's announced plans to set up a new team of economists to advise the department about the impact of its decisions. Our political correspondent, Justin McCarthy, reports from the Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is arguably the most important department in the government, but the new Secretary General, John Moran, says staffing levels there are not sufficient to achieve the tasks set by the Cabinet. Today, he's announced plans for a complete overhaul of his department and says he will need to hire around 40 new staff to beef up resources.
We've got a very significant transformation to do in the department. And until we get to status quo, we're going to need extra help to do that. We haven't been taking in new graduates into this department for many, many years, which is, of course, itself a problem in terms of succession planning and new ideas. So we need to promote people internally in the department, and we need to be able to backfill those gaps.
The new recruits will include a new head of banking, admin staff, accountants, and a team of around 20 economists who will form a new economics planning unit in the department. It will be responsible for examining government decisions and assessing their impact on the economy.
What we need is a much more robust economic strategy team who can actually analyse the stuff and really analyse for us the impact of decisions that we make along the way.
The plan published today sets out five main goals, which are to drive the economy, to have sustainable public finances, to improve the living standards of citizens, to return Ireland to the international bond markets, and to complete the restructuring of the banks. The new Secretary General has also promised to encourage a new culture in the department where people can openly express their ideas and views. But he says it's not possible to say if the changes he's making would have prevented the economic crash had they been in place before 2008. Justin McCarthy, Today FM News, at the Department of Finance in Dublin.
The price of goods and services in Ireland is nearly 2% higher compared to the same time last year. In the 12 months to the end of April, there was a 5% increase in transport costs, alcohol rose by 3%, and education costs grew by 9%. However, overall inflation fell slightly in the year to the end of April. Austin Hughes from KBC Bank spoke to me a short time ago.
For consumers, it's a slightly confusing position because the cost of food went up last month. We also saw a significant increase in fuel prices. So for many households, it probably felt like inflation was getting worse. What brought inflation down was a drop in airfares, a drop in mortgage interest payments, and a drop in rents. So a lot of families probably feel that the cost of living is rising, even if the official numbers suggest that the inflation rate is declining.
Looking at the overall trends, where do you see inflation going?
The outlook for inflation is a little bit unclear. It depends to a great extent what happens to energy costs. There's no doubt that the general weakness of economic activity is keeping downward pressure on clothing, on household goods, and on a lot of areas, electronics as well. But the reality is food prices remain under upward pressure, as do fuel prices, and they're the areas that probably matter most and are most visible to households.
Is low inflation always the best outcome?
Low inflation is generally the best outcome to the extent it means that people's euro stretch that little bit further. But when it's a symptom of a very weak global economy, it's telling you that pressures on prices are relatively low because economic activity is low, and that generally means that incomes are low as well. So it's a little bit of a vicious circle. We want to see low inflation, but we want to see that in healthy economic conditions.
And how do we compare with our European neighbours?
Irish inflation is still below the European average, so that's good news in terms of competitiveness. That's very important for the economy, that we continue to reduce the cost gap with major trading partners. And the April numbers suggest this is happening. Unfortunately, it's a painful process for consumers because they feel themselves being squeezed. But this is one of the bright lights in terms of the outlook for the economy, that we're seeing an improvement in costs vis-a-vis other countries.
That's Austin Hughes of KBC Bank there. The Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore has suggested that what's happening in Greece is a cause of arousal for a leading member of the No campaign in the fiscal treaty referendum. Mr Gilmore made the remarks in response to People Before Profit TD Richard Boyd Barrett, who said the government should abandon the treaty after government said it would delay ratification. Minister Gilmore hit back, accusing the Dunleary TD of getting overexcited about the political upheaval in Greece.
The guru of austerity, Angela Merkel, can now not even get the treaty through her own parliament. And your comrades in the SPD, in explaining their refusal to ratify the fiscal treaty, said we won't support a cutbacks orgy.
It may well be that what is happening in Greece is a cause for arousal for you, Deputy Boyd Barrett, or for... Believe you me, it's not the route that sensible people in this country want to go.
I'll pass over that issue. And your own fetish for interesting vocabulary, such as orgies and arousals. And this is obviously a new team for the Second International, despite their differences on policy over the fiscal treaty.
Could I have a question, please?
But,
I'm getting excited here myself waiting for the question.
Businesswoman Nora Casey, who's on the development board of the new Children's Hospital, has backed the Mater site as the best location for the new facility. Speaking at the INMO conference in Killarney, Ms Casey said she'd be concerned about choosing another site because it may delay the project further. Delegates at the conference have also condemned the use of protocols which see patients treated in inappropriate areas of hospitals. From the conference, Louise Kelly reports.
Last February, on board Planola rejected planning permission for the new €650 million children's hospital at the Mater site because of the impact it would have on the Dublin skyline. There are a number of other sites in contention too, including St James's Hospital and Tala and Connolly Hospitals. Speaking at the INMO conference in Killarney, businesswoman and Dragon's Den star Nora Casey, who's on the hospital's development board, says her preferred choice is and always has been the Mater.
And I think that if we move to another site, it will take at least another year. So for that reason, my preference would be to go with the Mater site. And you know that we've been given the old Mater site now, and that means that the building can drop a number of floors and maybe to assuage some of the concerns that on board Planola had.
Elsewhere at the conference today, nurses and midwives have accused the HSE of treating patients in inappropriate areas in an attempt to massage trolley watch figures. A motion has been passed condemning the increasing use of full capacity protocols, which nurses say place admitted patients on trolleys in areas such as corridors and TV rooms. President Sheila Dixon.
We are certainly counting anybody that is an inpatient inside in a hospital waiting for a bed that doesn't have one. And it doesn't matter whether they're on a chair, a trolley, or up against a corridor wall.
The issue has been raised in the Dáil by Fianna Fáil's Billy Kelleher. But the Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore says it would be very difficult to hide trolleys, and said the government would welcome any input from nurses on the issue.
The government and the Minister for Health is open to hearing from the people at the front line, including nurses, what needs to be done.
The conference will debate a number of other issues today, including the Croke Park deal and cuts to allowances. Louise Kelly, Today FM News, at the INMO conference in Killarney.
Searches are continuing in Belfast Lough following reports that a baby fell from a ferry yesterday evening. The vessel was en route from Carrigryan in Scotland when a woman went overboard, but she was quickly rescued. Police in the north say she has now been identified and is from Northern Ireland. She's been treated for hypothermia. A piece of history is going on the market today as Charles Haughey's former residence, Abbeville, goes up for sale. The property is a 14-bedroom Georgian mansion dating to the mid-1700s and designed by the renowned architect James Gandon. The estate is set on almost 250 acres of park and woodland in Kinsealy in North Dublin and is on offer for €7.5 million, a sizeable drop in price from 2003. Juliet Gash reports from Abbeville.
I'm sitting in Charles Haughey's former office overlooking the Haughey Crest beside a fountain, and it's amazing.
At the bottom of the staircase in the area that was known as the picture gallery, on our left we have the office of the late Charles Haughey, and on our right we are walking towards the Malden room or the Gothic room.
Pat O'Hagan from selling agent Savile says Abbeville is a rare gem.
Its location is about 10 kilometres from the centre of Dublin city. It's an agricultural residential estate right on the edge of the city. You're only about 5 minutes from the airport. So, you know, you don't get them like this in this location.
Abbeville's most famous owner was undoubtedly Charles Haughey, but it's also an important house architecturally, as Pat explains.
This is the ballroom, which is a magnificent room. It's highly decorated all round with plasterwork done by Gandon, very typical of his.
There's already been interest from abroad, which is no surprise, as the asking price of €7.5 million is about one-fifth of what was paid for the property in 2003. Savills is only entertaining genuinely interested buyers, but I was lucky enough to get a tour.
You can tell by the wooden floor that we're in a special kind of room here.
Yes, we're in what they call the parlour bar. And this was certainly put in by the Haughies, but there is terrific atmosphere when you walk in here.
And we have three taps set up and I see a bottle opener, so it still could be a working bar for the next owner.
For sure, yes.
As well as a surprisingly pink master bedroom, the house has some other surprises.
The bedroom's up here.
The children's wing, possibly.
Servants, probably.
A little classroom complete with...
So who do Savills expect will buy Abbeville?
It may be a stud person. Previous owners, Charles Haughey and the Reynolds family, ran stud farms successfully from here. It could be just a family, somebody who wants to live in an exceptional house. It's very, very hard to find something like this, so it is quite unique.
Juliet Gash, Today FM News, counting my pennies in Abbeville.
And finally, in the past few minutes, Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny, has ruled out taking part in a TV3 debate with Gerry Adams on May 29th. They have been asked to take part in a debate on the fiscal treaty referendum.
I have occasion to have debates with Deputy Adams in the Dáil on Tuesdays and on Wednesdays. I'm very happy to debate with Deputy Adams, but I do not do the Vincent Brown programme.
Today FM Sport with Fuji Film.